The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning. Welcome to your Thursday morning briefing. Here's what you need to know to start your day with your host, former Saturday Night Live superstar Joe Piscopo. Produced by Joe Sebilia. With news guy Al Gattulo. And traffic with Debbie Duhame. This is the Joe Piscopo Show on AM 970. The Answer.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Joe Borelli filling in for Joe Piscopo. Joe, as we mentioned before, and we heard from him before, he is cruising his way through the suburbs of Rome on his way to Pompeii and the southern portions of Italy, enjoying himself. In studio, as always, is Joe Sebilia and Mr. Al Gattulo. We got some guests lined up in this hour. We got some people waiting on the lines. If you want to call us, give us a call, 877-970-2999. Let's talk to Sonny. Good morning, Sonny.
Good morning, Joe. Yeah, I'm calling from the villages here in Florida, central Florida here, and just want to report that things are okay. It's okay. You know, we were expecting the worst, but here in central Florida, it never gets too bad. I was talking to the residents. I'm just a snowbird down here, but they tell me they never get it too bad. But you've seen what happened to the other parts. It affected over 2 million on the southwestern border.
I was supposed to actually be in Naples, in the Naples area, leaving tomorrow morning, but that got canceled, unfortunately. Sonny, we're glad. We're definitely glad you and all your neighbors are doing good, and get back to Staten Island when you can. I tell you, I hope as we start getting some of the news out of Florida, it's better than what we've received from the Lee County Sheriff, where over 100 people apparently are presumed to have passed away in this horrible incident.
I think because a lot of people stayed where they were, and apparently a lot of these hurricane forecasts are sort of unpredictable in the area of which they're going to hit. I mean, they're certain within a certain amount of mile radius. That originally, this was supposed to hit Tampa. I mean, this was supposed to be a direct hit at Tampa, and it wasn't. It ended up going a little further south.
Yep.
But I'm wondering if people just decided, you know what? It's going to hit Tampa. I'll stick it out. I know it's going to be.
It looked like it was going much further north than it ended up hitting.
Right.
But...
And so you can never be too careful when they tell you, look, I mean, we had the same issue with Sandy. People thought Sandy was just going to be a glancing blow and not be the devastation that ended up happening. And then when you look and see what happened, not only in New Jersey, but in the five boroughs, and the devastation that happened on Staten Island and in Lower Manhattan and in Brooklyn. It's remarkable. And people, 10 years later, still are not
rebuilding. I tell people that still to this day, that there are still houses in Newport Beach that are still under repairs, still waiting for some reimbursement. And I remember right when Sandy happened, a friend of ours who works with FEMA, he's a very influential guy, Brad Gare, over at FEMA, he said, you guys have to realize this is going to take 10 years. They flew, at the time, my predecessor, down to New Orleans. This is about 10 years after that. And things were still not back together, right. And that gave us really a sense of scale. But, again, thoughts and prayers to all our friends in Florida. Hopefully we get some better news than we had.
And the other thing is, too, I mean, I know Floridians are used to hurricanes because it does happen down there on a frequent basis. They've never had a hurricane of this magnitude in over 100 years hit them the way that it did. So no matter what precautions that you take, and obviously a lot of the homes now are built with concrete to withstand these things. They don't build them with wood anymore like they would do up here. So a lot of these places are able to withstand hurricane force winds, but that amount of water, when you've got 10, 12 foot swells of water.
Apparently, the water in Fort Myers had never been this high at any point in the city's history. So, again, we're only hoping for the best, hoping some of the reports are inaccurate about the loss of life. We're wishing everyone involved in the rescue and recovery operation success. We're wishing success for Governor DeSantis. We're wishing success for President Biden and all the FEMA first responders that are heading down there now. But let's change the subject. There's something a little more light.
Sure.
Have you guys seen this video of Lizzo playing James Madison's 200-year-old flute?
I did.
I did not see it.
I thought it was kind of cool.
Right. There is so many hot takes on this from so many different angles. Let's be clear about what she did. The Library of Congress basically gave Lizzo, for a few moments, this flute that was owned by James Madison and saved by Dolly Madison. Hasn't been played in 200 years.
Right.
So they let her play it at a concert. I think the controversy comes in for how she behaved with it, because apparently she twerked with it and she was essentially in a costume, which is little more than underwear. The interesting thing is, the Library of Congress, we left that one critical part.
Yeah.
Lizzo is actually a trained classical flutist. I didn't know that until just now, but God bless her.
Did she ask them or they volunteered the flute?
Unclear. However,
why would you want to play somebody's used flute?
I find this stuff interesting. Now, there was another video of her when she first went, like two or three days ago, to the Library of Congress, where she played Madison's flute, and she played it very well, and but there was no twerking. She was dressed in regular clothes,
right.
And it was almost like a classical concert. That video didn't go viral. The video of her, pushed by left wing media as more of the symbol of an African American playing the flute owned by a slave owner. They played up again. It's always about playing up these racial motives, right?
Right. Yeah.
No one cared when it was just this woman who's an excellent flutist, in the rotunda of the Library of Congress playing this flute. And I mean, people on both sides, whether you agree with it or not, no one cared. No one actually cared when the video was her just playing the flute. It was only when she was twerking, she was dressed perhaps inappropriately, and when social media and regular media made it about the legacy of slavery, that people started to get offended. So it's really interesting. I think, as Ben Shapiro actually put it, and I'll read to you his tweet, because I think it's right on point. This Lizzo flute controversy is a perfect example of what I have termed face tattoo phenomenon, the phenomenon whereby someone does something deliberately controversial in an attempt to draw attention and then acts offended when you notice. I think that's exactly what happened, because she already played the flute in the Library of Congress, and then used it at one of her shows. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't know.
I don't have a problem.
I don't want to say anything because...
What? You didn't see it?
No, well, I didn't see it, but just hearing it, it's just... I don't know.
I don't care one way or another. So she played the flute. The Library of Congress allowed her to play it. So what? What's the big deal? It's not like she took the flute from the Library of Congress and then brought it on stage.
There was no heist. There was no heist involved.
They gave it to her to use it.
Why are they giving out a flute? That's what I don't understand. Why are they, anybody? I'm not just saying to Lizzo. Anybody.
When I go to the museums, like I told you before, I fantasize about being able to touch some of the cool stuff. And it's hard for me to be critical, because I have used my position to get special perks, which, I mean, nobody's asking for special perks at the New York State Library or the New York Public Library on 42nd Street. But you get me in the map room, and I'm touching the maps, and I'm having a really good time touching.
Yeah.
That's my equivalent. So if you're a musician and you love, as apparently Lizzo does, playing the flute, I don't know. I don't know why people want me to be offended.
It doesn't bother me. It does not bother me that much, the whole thing.
Exactly. I'm just not sure why I should be so offended by this person. I mean, shouldn't we be...
It's a flute. Who cares?
But if we have these things, right, and the experts tell us that using it in this way won't damage it, right, we're not going to damage something, if you could use something to make music, a thing that was designed to make music and it hasn't been heard, and like you know, if the Liberty Bell was intact, wouldn't we want to ring it?
Wouldn't we want to ring it?
Don't we want to get the bells restored at Notre Dame and hear how they sound?
I don't know. I mean, people are freaking out about the whole she twerked with the flute thing. People thought the Charleston was scandalous in the 1920s. I mean, it's just
I suppose it's just a matter of perspective. I suppose you're right. I mean, you know,
it's not that big a deal to me. I don't know.
But do you think they were trying to deliberately be offensive, as Ben Shapiro kind of indicated? I don't think
the Library of Congress or just people in general?
Yes, I think the Library of Congress. I mean, they knew.
No.
Yes, they knew what outfit she was going to wear. They knew what kind of performance she was going to put on.
Right.
They had already let her use it in the rotunda of the Library of Congress, where she also, by the way, she played. They have more. I mean, apparently, the Library of Congress has an extensive musical instrument collection. Now, somebody on Twitter said, "I actually would be into a historical series where Lizzo goes and plays historical music.
That would be interesting.
All over the world. I'm like, you know what? That would actually be kind of interesting to see what things sound like." And we spoke about history before. I like when history does come alive. So, like, to be able to hear some music that was played on instruments generations
ago. If it was a cello, it wouldn't bother me. It's just the idea that somebody used that flute, now you're going to use it? I don't know.
You think the Germans...
Somebody hasn't used it for 200 years.
Yeah, but...
And you don't think the library had cleaned it, perhaps?
Of course.
Or maintained it, maybe?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's over the past few hundred years,
Joe? I don't know.
First off, you don't think that when they put the flute in storage, it was hermetically sealed? I mean, we are talking 200 years ago.
They had the Capitol Police actually escort
I understand that, but what I'm saying is when it was given to the Library of Congress all those years ago, they didn't have the technology that we have now to preserve things.
Right.
So, I mean, there were germs on it probably already.
Now, I think if they gave it to just anybody who wasn't trained in a flute and said, like, you know, go blow in it and go to town, I think that would be disrespectful to the artifact and to the legacy of American history.
So, again, I didn't see the video, so I don't know. She played the flute in the second, not the reverent performance. I'm talking about the...
Yeah, she played the flute.
When she
did a little dancing in her underwear.
Did
and
her dance.
Worked. Yeah.
But she played the flute.
She definitely played
the flute.
Okay,
so she used the flute for its proper purpose.
Correct.
To me, that's fine.
I don't know. So, a funny story. I was in Turkey, my first time in Turkey, with now Congressman Andrew Garbarino, and we were on, like, a tour. And we met with this wealthy Turkish guy who was donating a whole bunch of Ottoman and Seljuk Turk artifacts to the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And he was putting it in a container, like in basically he had a separate room in his house for his collection, and he was putting some of the stuff in a container. And he had swords and spears and helmets and shields. And he basically said to us, you know, you could put anything you want on. Go play with it. Like, you know, and in my mind, I'm like, in 6 months, this is going to be in the Met, and it's going to be behind glass, and no one's going to touch it. So, I don't want to throw Andrew Garbarino, our congressman, under the bus, but we may or may not have, you know, put some Ottoman Turk helmets on and spears and shields and played a little dress up for a minute there.
It's okay.
So, again, I can't really fault Lizzo for playing with historical artifacts. And there's a desk, by the way, there's a desk at City Hall in the governor's room. It's Washington's desk. It's George Washington's actual desk. There's a sign on it that says, "Don't touch this desk."
Right.
But I'm allowed into this room when no one else is there. Like, I have permission to be in this room.
I'm sure you're not the first.
Not only have I touched it, but I've kind of imagined myself, you know, I wouldn't put my weight on it, but I've imagined myself, you know, like, you know, peering out over my staff with my desk in front of me. You know,
see,
I mean,
the closest I've ever come to that was about 8 years ago at this point. After I graduated high school, I took a trip out to California for the first time, and I went to go see the Conan O'Brien show. And I was acquainted with somebody who worked on his staff. And after the show, you know, you're not supposed to take any pictures in the studio, no phones turned on. And he got me behind Conan's desk, and I'm wearing, you know, a suit and a tie and everything. And I got
you had your wig on.
And I'm sitting behind the desk, and that was a cool moment for me. I would
see that as a cool moment for anyone.
That's something you just don't get.
Even now, when I go to Fox, if it's a new studio, I'll still take a picture of myself behind the news desk. It's still a lot of fun.
I didn't twerk. No twerking.
You didn't twerk because you don't have the dance moves.
No, I don't. I can barely square dance.
It's tough. But, you know, I bet there's a lot of people who'd rather be dancing than sitting in traffic. So let's check in with them with our dear friend Susie Cerrone.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Sunny skies and we're up to 58 degrees in the city. What's going on? We have the answer. Checking traffic, a tough one in Queens, but a three-car crash on the Cross Island southbound at Linden Boulevard is gone. There is an accident just in on the Belt Parkway eastbound at Cross Bay Boulevard. Van Wyck southbound at Main Street. Jackie Robinson southbound at Jamaica Avenue. Each has a lane out. It's also really bad on the Belt westbound from Farmers Boulevard to Erskine Street, a 40-minute travel time. 45 minutes at the inbound George upper level, 30 to 5 for the lower. The Lincoln is 40. Holland's still your best bet, 25 minutes from either approach. Checking your forecast today, a sun-cloud mix, breezy with a high of 66. Tonight, cloudy, breezy, 53 in the city. Friday, cloudy and 64. Some rain Saturday and a high of 57. We are sponsored by Blindster. Want to save on new blinds? Blindster.com offers custom-made blinds, shades, and shutters. Visit Blindster.com. Susie Cerone on AM 970, The Answer.
With America in crisis and lies abounding everywhere, we thought it was a good time to provide the antidote. That's why this radio station partnered with the all-new Salem News Channel. All the hosts you've come to know and trust on this station are right there on TV. Same great lineup, only now you get to watch as well as listen. Download the app on your Apple or Android device. Watch us on Roku or on SalemNewsChannel.com. On the radio, we're right here. On TV, we're right there. SNC is the antidote to the mainstream media.
Now you can travel to Israel. Spend 10 extraordinary days in the Holy Land this November. Collect remarkable memories on a trip that will change you forever. Sebastian Gorka and Dinesh D'Souza lead our tour of Israel with our trusted travel partner, Inspiration Cruises and Tours. Join them and enjoy picturesque and unforgettable places you'll treasure for a lifetime. Reserve your spot today at StandWithIsraelTour.com.
Listen to Tim Kennedy and It's Just a Mortgage Saturday afternoons at 5. Learn about reverse mortgages. Tim is a certified reverse mortgage professional with U.S. Mortgage Corporation. Have equity in your home? Will a reverse mortgage line of credit benefit you and your family? Visit TimTalksReverse.com or call 631-750-0520. There are misconceptions about reverse mortgages. Will I lose my home? Do I give up home ownership? Will my children be burdened with debt? None of these are true. A reverse mortgage line of credit may help you achieve specific goals, the ability to age in place, maintain financial independence, or plan for a more safe and secure retirement. TimTalksReverse.com or 631-750-0520. Listen to It's Just a Mortgage every Saturday afternoon at 5 on AM 970 The Answer and AM 570 and 102.3 FM The Mission, WMCA. It's Just a Mortgage with Tim Kennedy.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Hey, Joe on the radio, I'd like to tell you a little bit, if I may, about Deborah Ann, who lives in Massachusetts. She used to suffer all the time from this nagging hip pain. You know, the kind that keeps you from being able to sleep at night. That's the worst, you know. But you know what? She heard about 100% drug-free Relief Factor, and she decided to give it a try. Guess what? Within a couple of weeks, no more hip pain. Every bit of it was completely gone now. Hundreds of thousands of others have tried Relief Factor, and about 70% have gone on to order more. How about you? Wouldn't you like to be free of pain? No pain! Well, your first step to becoming pain-free just might be to order the 3-week quick start that I keep telling you about. It's still only $19.95. You go to ReliefFactor.com, please, or call 800-4-RELIEF. 800-4-RELIEF to hear more about this great offer. You could feel the difference. ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF.
Our hosts tell it like it is. No safe spaces here. AM 970, The Answer.
Good morning and welcome back. This is Councilman Joe Borelli filling in for Joe Piscopo. In with me in studio, as always, Al Gattulo and Joe Sibilia. We got our great guest coming up, Rafael Mangual, who'll be with us in just a second. But, I mean, I'm just reading these stories. Another story out today about Kathy Hochul and this pay-to-play donor scandal, $637 million pay-to-play scandal. Apparently, not only was the huge financial windfall not good enough for the Tibelli family, But also, James Tabelli, 21, the son of this family, was also hired to somehow work for the governor. I mean, I wonder if that was related. And it's just incredible whether or not it's actually shameful that the New York Post, a right-leaning newspaper, and the Albany Times Union, I would say a left-leaning newspaper, knowing some of the journalists, knowing some of their editorial pages, it's a left-leaning newspaper. They are the only two news outlets even investigating, as journalists should, some of the scandals surrounding Kathy Hochul. It's embarrassing that the governor is embroiled in a scandal, and it's not on the front page of the New York Times. It's not on the front page of some of the other local and regional papers around the state, the Poughkeepsie Journal, the Buffalo. It's just absurd that it really is only the Post and the Albany Times Union actually even doing any of the damage. But we're seeing the damage all around the state. And I want to bring in Mr. Raphael Mangual, a friend of mine, really a really good friend of mine, who just came out with a new book. We want to get all the details on that because I'm still waiting for my copy to come in the mail. Good morning, Raphael.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
How are you doing? How are the book sales? Are we excited? How's it going?
It's going well. Very exciting. Very exhausting.
Good.
It's going well. All good things.
Well, I'm glad. I want to talk to you about some things that aren't going well right now. 16 people were shot in the span of one day in New York City. How unprecedented is this? And what do you attribute not just this one incident, but the spate of shootings over the past 6 months?
Yeah, well, it's not entirely unprecedented, at least not in our broader history, but it's something that we haven't seen a lot of for a long time, and I think it's showing us exactly where things are going wrong. And so, you know, if we're looking at the crime rise that we experienced in 2020, that we experienced in 2021, that we're experiencing now with respect to all major crimes, I think what it's pointing to is just the general policy direction of this state and of this city, which has been to lower the cost of committing crime and raise the cost of enforcing the law, making life in New York very unsafe for too many people.
So, I mean, the city is taking some very significant steps to prevent gun violence from happening in New York. And I'm talking about this real significant measure to make Times Square a gun-free zone and to place signs up. How soon do you think this will have a successful impact on the crime rate in New York City?
Declaring Times Square a gun-free zone, I'm not sure that's going to help all that much. What really needs to change are the policies that are at the root of this, policies that allow repeat offenders to remain on the street, policies that make it less likely for police to make arrests of the crimes that we know are associated with more serious violence. That's what really needs to change. We need a rededication by our DAs to target serious violent offenders and keep them off the street, even when they come into contact with the criminal justice system for lower-level offenses or lower-level felonies. We need our parole board to make smarter decisions about who they're going to release. And we need the bail laws changed so that judges can actually consider dangerousness like every other judge in every other state in the country can do.
Do you think Mayor Adams has changed the trajectory at all in addressing crime, whether it be in statistics or in just in police practice? Has he done anything right?
Well, I certainly think he's been a great supporter of the police department and has given the police department, you know, really good direction. But one of the things that I think he has realized and that I know I've heard him say is that there's a limit to what the police can do on their own if the rest of the criminal justice system doesn't get on board with the same mission. And that's really going to be the defining challenge of the next decade.
And do you think a crime in New York City compares with, is similar to the comparisons of crime in other cities, or are we outperforming other cities, or are we doing, dare I say it, better than some large cities out there?
We're certainly doing better insofar as things haven't gotten as bad as, say, they've gotten in Indianapolis, in Chicago, in Baltimore, in Philadelphia, which, you know, are approaching or have seen all-time records. But the reason for that is that over the last 30 years of pretty consistent crime declines, New York City was able to fortify itself against increases in really important ways that make us less vulnerable to crime increases today, which means that it's going to take a lot more both time and misguided policy to unravel all of that success. But the staying power of that is not, you know, indefinite. And so we really do need to guard those gains very closely if we intend to keep them.
Given that we, you know, see on the front page of the tabloids, now even the Daily News is calling out the bail reform problems associated with that particular perpetrator, who was the poster boy for the bail reform movement. That was about 2 or 3 days ago, I recall. Given that all of these tabloid front pages, women beaten on yesterday's Post, et cetera, hasn't really changed the minds of Democrats in Albany. Do you see anything on the horizon, anything that might trigger a change of behavior? Or are we just basically doomed to have this bail reform in perpetuity almost?
I mean, I don't see anything likely to change in the very near future. I mean, you know, the only shock to the system that I can imagine actually having a real impact on policy outcomes is going to be a political one. If for some reason, you know, Governor Hochul loses her race, the Democrats lose, you know, one of the houses of the state legislature, that might wake people up if there's evidence that crime is at the, you know, the root of that political change. But I think we're going to be stuck with this reform for quite a while. If the things that have already happened haven't induced people to reconsider these policies, I think it's going to take a lot more.
I'm very scared. You know, someone like Kathy Hochul, who, you know, it's easy to see how some Democrats who represent ultra progressive districts might be scared of the wrath of their voters, say, if they go against bail reform. But I'm very upset that Kathy Hochul, who has the whole state as her constituency, is still afraid to come out hard against this. I mean, do you think this issue will drive enough voters to possibly bring Lee Zeldin across the finish line, or are people just you know, so buried with their head in the sand?
Well, I am many things, a political prognosticator. I am not, so I'm not sure I have a really good answer to that. You know, but I can tell you that on the policy front, leaving this policy in place the way that it is will continue to be a source of consternation for people worried about public safety as more data comes out. It continues to support the position that this has contributed to the crime rise. You know, it really is going to be up to voters to decide, you know, how much weight they're going to place on that issue in their decision at the ballot box. You know, whether that means Lee Zeldin is going to win the election, you know, that's a question that someone else can probably give you a better answer to. But I can tell you that as an analyst, as a policy person, you know, New York's bail policy is absolutely a disaster. It is one of the worst constructed bail laws in the country. In fact, the worst constructed bail law in the country. And that needs to change for its own reasons, not just because Democrats might lose.
Final question. I spoke to Josh Hammer the other day. He was very excited to come to the City Journal, which you are a contributing editor to. He was very excited to come to the awards gala. I think that was last night. How did the event go? How can the public actually get more involved with the Manhattan Institute and with City Journal? I get the feeling sometimes that there's a disconnect between the sort of the broader public conversation and some of the think tank work that is actually spectacular that you guys do.
I mean, the event was wonderful. You know, it's always an honor to be in, you know, those big rooms with so many people who are engaged in some of the most important public policy issues for our city. You know, for people who are interested, I mean, the Manhattan Institute has been doing this work for a really, really long time. We will continue to remain dedicated to these issues. And so, you know, I hope that listeners will subscribe to our work, that they will read City Journal, that they will follow the Institute research and, you know, join us at our public event.
Well, I will certainly tell people I know to get involved, tell people I know to start reading what they can online. Raphael, how can people get your book?
They can buy it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your book. It's called Criminal Injustice.
Get your books now before they're sold out. We want to make this guy one of the most successful conservative thinkers and authors out there. We know. Thank you for joining us as always. This is Joe Borelli filling in for Joe Piscopo. We are rocking and rolling here in studio with Al Gattulo and Joe Sebelia, having a good time. Just chugging along as we enter the final 30, well, actually, no, now it's 26 minutes of our broadcast.
Doesn't it go fast?
It does go. You know, the first hour always goes relatively slow. And, you know, usually I'm tired for it.
Yeah.
I'm a morning person, but I'm not a morning up and chipper person. Like, at home, if I'm up at 6 a.m., I'm watering the plants outside. I'm reading the news with a cup of coffee. I'm not being the news. I'm not delivering cheerful
yeah.
wishes. I mean, the loudest I get in the morning is probably yelling at my kids. So it's
See, anybody who works in broadcasting, early morning broadcasting, be it on the Today Show, on television, or Good Morning America, or a show like this, you have to be a morning person's morning person. Because, remember, you're not just getting up at 6 o'clock and doing things. You're getting up maybe 3 hours beforehand, getting to the studio, preparing. If you're on television,
it's a big
you have to get made up. And you understand this from
yeah.
guessing
oh,
on
yeah.
Fox and Friends First or Fox and Friends.
And the most interesting thing about the Fox and Friends First show is that I prefer doing the 4 a.m. hour of their show. For me, it's actually easier to wake up in the middle of the night at, say, like, you know, 2:15.
Yeah.
Get dressed, go into Manhattan, go into studio, bang it out. And then if I'm on, say, the top block of the 4 a.m. hour or the second block, I'm usually home in bed by 5 a.m. And my wife, who wakes up normally for work at about 6:15, 6:30, she's unaware that I've even left the house normally.
Really?
You know, I'm just out. The kids,
that takes stealth.
It takes stealth. I guess she's a heavy sleeper. Maybe she's on the melatonin that might not be safe for
Could
us
be.
Anymore. But I sneak out. I do my thing. And there are some mornings when I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, she'll be like, why do you have makeup on still? And I'll be like, oh, I didn't take it off. Like, sorry. I went to Fox last night while you were asleep. I went on national television while you were sleeping. And it was even better during the pandemic because
yeah.
I could literally go in my basement to a little Skype studio
well,
I
was
had,
just
I had
say,
made up. Yeah.
Couldn't you? I mean, obviously, Fox is in Manhattan I guess it's part of Rockefeller Center, technically.
It's not part of Rockefeller Center. It's it's on 6th Avenue south of Rockefeller Center.
So it's over
Midtown, there.
Manhattan, and you're on Staten
mm-hmm.
Island. Couldn't you be given the option just to do it from home anyway if you want to? Because I think there's plenty of people who are normally...
There's definitely not as good quality on Skype or on some of the web broadcasting. I don't have enough money to put a studio...
You prefer to go in just because you know your hit and the quality of your performance will be better?
No. They prefer in studio or in a studio van. I mean, they have studio vans that can come to your house. I don't know if the Fox and Friends First show has the budget or capability to send people out at 2 or 3 in the morning. So that's typically not what happens. But it's still a lot of fun. I still enjoy it no matter what time of day. It's definitely a good time. Al, how you feeling, Al?
Better.
Good.
Better, for now.
If only you could see the behind-the-scenes of the show.
No,
today,
nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants
it would
to
be
that.
So much more.
No,
now, people
you.
Thought we just wanted to hear Eye of the Tiger when we came back in the 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
We just loved the song Eye of the Tiger. Meanwhile, one of our microphones had actually fallen off its mounting into my lap, and I could not deliver the eloquent
because the mounts, soliloquy. Because the mounts that they use for the microphones are terrible.
Yeah. Yes.
They're the absolute worst.
That's a frequent occurrence. It's not exclusive to you that the microphone just falls apart.
Like the mount that I have, that's the mount they should be using.
Yeah.
It's better. The microphone won't.
Now, why do you get a good mount and we get...
Because technically,
garbage.
Yours is the host microphone.
Correct.
Normally, in a studio setting like this, the host would sit where Al sits. But
right.
Joe and most of the hosts who work here for some reason tend to prefer to sit where you're sitting opposite the audio board. And in usual radio studios, we have another side of the glass where we have our call screen to sit. That's where the board op would sit. So you'd
Correct.
Be in separate rooms.
Right.
We originated quarantining and social distancing before it ever existed in a modern society.
This is absolutely fascinating. This is every time I come in here, I learn something new. It's good stuff.
Well,
so as we wind down the hour, guys, you can give us a call, 877-970-2999. We will take your calls. Coming back, we'll come back for the last two segments of our show. For now, I mean, Al's been giving us the news all morning. Hopefully it changed. Hopefully it got better. I doubt it did. But let's get some news with our newsman, Al Gattullo.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970. The Answer.
57 degrees at 9:39. I'm Al Gattullo with local news first. Here's what's going on. New York City launching its first ever Chef's Council to develop healthy recipes in the nation's largest school system. The council is being chaired by celebrity chef Rachel Ray and includes celebrity chefs, culinary industry professionals, and food activists. Mayor Adams says the council will create over 100 scratch-cooked, plant-based, and culturally relevant recipes that will be tested out in schools system-wide this school year. After feedback from students and parents, the recipes will then be introduced as a monthly seasonal menu with the chefs, then training school cooks on how to cook those meals. Patterson is cracking down on illegal ATVs and packs of riders who've taken over streets and sidewalks. Mayor Andre Saya is calling the bikes the tools of terror that put pedestrians at risk of being run over. So he signed a law targeting illegal riding. It applies to ATVs, dirt bikes, mini bikes, and snowmobiles on all public property in the city. Patterson police are already seizing illegal ATVs, and now they've got the authority to sell the bikes or destroy them. In sports, Aaron Judge officially in the record books. The Yankee outfielder has tied Roger Maris's American League home run record with his 61st long ball of the season. Judge went deep off of Blue Jays reliever Tim Mesa to give the Bronx Bombers the lead and eventually go on to win by the final of 8-3. Eduardo Escobar, the hero of the night for the Mets, as they topped the Marlins 5-4 in 10 innings. Escobar drove in all five of the Mets' runs after going 3-for-5 with a two-run homer and a single to lead the Amazons to victory. They now lead the National League East by one game over the Atlanta Braves, who lost last night to the Nationals. Both teams are off today, and they will start a three-game set in Atlanta to decide the National League East this coming weekend on Friday, weather permitting. Stuck in traffic. Oh, by the way, this sports report brought to you by Relief Factor. Get pain-free today. Stuck in traffic, Susie Cerrone's got the answer.
Sunny skies and it's 58 degrees in the city. What's going on? We have the answer. We're down to two accidents in Queens. One on the Belt Parkway eastbound at Cross Bay Boulevard, heavy delays from Rockaway Parkway, and one on the Jackie Robinson southbound at Jamaica Avenue, a minor delay getting by that. So awfully slow on the Belt Parkway westbound. It's all volume from Farmers Boulevard to Erskine Street. Inbound, George, still 45 for the upper, 35 for the lower. The Lincoln is 40. Holland's still your best bet, 25 minutes from either approach. No incidents right now along the Garden State Parkway. And the Thruway southbound, that is still pretty slow from exit 13 right across the Tappan Zee Bridge into Westchester. Taking a look at the forecast today, a sun cloud mix breezy with a high of 66 degrees. Tonight, cloudy and breezy, 53 in the city. Friday, cloudy skies with a high of 64, some rain on Saturday and 57. I'm Susie Cerrone on AM 970, The Answer.
Sponsored by Pfizer. Charging a cell phone can be like getting a booster shot. A booster is given to enhance or restore protection after a primary series vaccination, which wanes over time. Schedule an appointment when you're eligible. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Hi, it's Joe Piscopo. You know I love performing at the Saccone Theater at Bergen Community College in Paramus, so I'm bringing my band and heading back there on Friday, October 21st, for an unbelievable show. A lot of comedy, some stories, a great tribute to Mr. Sinatra. This is a night you can't miss. It begins at 6 p.m. in a luxury tent right in front of the theater with a full dinner complete with signature dishes from Frank Sinatra's favorite restaurant, Patsy's, and owner and chef Sal Scagnamillo. You know what's really great? We'll be raising money for scholarships at Bergen Community College, a great school. You get valet parking, dinner, wine, the show, everything for one unbelievable price, $125. The Saccone Theater's an intimate venue that will sell out fast, so get your tickets now at tickets.bergen.edu. That's tickets.bergen.edu. Tickets.bergen.edu or call 201-447-7428. I'll see you there.
Today's housing market is like walking to work uphill in the snow, both ways, with no shoes and without a coat. Hey everyone, this is Mike.
And this is Brian with Fellowship Home Loans. It's truly a bidding war right now, with offers over asking becoming the norm. Time for buyers to be prepared with the Fellowship Home Loans Rate Lock Advantage Program.
Secure your rate and payment while you bid. If the rates go up, you're locked in. But if they go down, yours goes down too. It's truly a win-win.
Give us a call at 800-804-SAVE. That's 800-804-7283. The time to lock is now because no one knows what tomorrow brings.
The Fellowship Home Loans Rate Lock Advantage Program. 800-804-SAVE. That's 800-804-7283. Three.
Offering shelter where the cold winds blow. Fellowship Home Loans.
Welcome home.
Come and get your loan. Fellowship Home Loans.
Intercontinental Capital Group, DBA Fellowship Home Loans, Equal Housing Opportunity Lender, MLS number 60134.
If you live in New York, pay close attention, please. If your loved one needs home care benefits, the law governing New York is scheduled to change January 1st, 2023. This is important enough to repeat. Please listen carefully. If your loved one needs home care benefits, the law governing New York is scheduled to change January 1st, 2023. All 2023 financial transactions 30 months prior to application for benefits will be scrutinized and subject to penalty periods, including gifts to family members. Financial transfers must be made and benefits applications must be submitted before December 31st to ensure eligibility and protect your assets. The time to plan is now. Connors and Sullivan, attorneys at law, are experts in this area and can help you get in under the deadline. But you must start the process as soon as possible before the start of December to complete by the end of the year. Call Connors and Sullivan today. Don't delay. 718-238-6500. 718-238-6500.
The Relief Factor Pain-Free Studio. Say goodbye to pain and hello to relief with Relief Factor today.
The only station in New York that doesn't hold back. AM 970, The Answer.
Another good song by Al Gattulo. Good morning, New York. This is Joe Borelli filling in for Joe Piscopo on AM 970, The Answer. In studio, as always, Joe Sebelia, who doesn't apparently like the song, and Al Gattulo. It's unfortunate.
Well, it's not his bag. Stone Temple Pilots were a great band.
Al, I know you're a New Jersey guy now, but have you seen the reporting about New York City school test scores?
I did see it. They said that English rates were up.
Only in certain grades.
Right, only in certain grades. But they said math scores were down, and obviously this is based on a poll from 2019 and today, because obviously during the pandemic a lot of kids were home. Certain tests weren't taken, so this was the first, I guess last year was the first full year.
This was the first, you know, controlled testing environment to really see how much kids lost. Now, the experts will also tell you that the test administered to grades 6 through 8, the middle school kids, apparently that test was dumbed down a bit this year. They made significant changes, and that's why some believe that those test scores didn't go down. But all the other test scores, math and reading for the younger kids, went down. And really, there is no one to blame but the pandemic, crazy COVID dictatorial policies of people like the Biden administration, people like Andrew Cuomo, people like Kathy Hochul, who kept these schools closed. It's so depressing.
I do agree with you on that. I mean, my son thrived during remote learning. He enjoyed it. He was able to learn at his own pace, and it worked for him. But it didn't work for the majority of kids. Mm-hmm. Kids need that social interaction with their peers.
Especially the young ones.
But they also need to be able to interact with that teacher on a, you know, one-on-one basis. It's very difficult. And I heard this from a number of people who are teachers in New Jersey trying to connect with people who work in inner cities. You know, trying to connect with them on Zoom.
And especially, I think it's difficult for children who maybe have a learning disability, who are learning support, and need somebody tangibly there with them to walk them through
that's a part of it.
The New York Times did an expose 2 weeks ago on yeshivas.
Right.
Yeah. And there's about 160 yeshivas in New York City. We're talking about only about 6 or 7 of them who are of a particular Orthodox sect that basically refuses to teach any secular education in spite of state law. They're operating outside of state laws, right? Only talking about a fraction of just this 150 yeshivas.
But that fraction should not get any state funding at all.
Well, it's not state funding directly to them. It's state funding for busing. It's state funding for the paraprofessionals that help the students. It's state funding for disabled children.
But all of that should go away if they're not, you know.
And I'm not even arguing that point. My point is the New York Times spent weeks, months investigating these five schools, when the alternative to those schools, if you look at the test scores in Crown Heights, the alternative to these schools are to put your son or daughter into a failing public school.
Right.
Does the New York Times ever do an expose? Do an expose on how bad public schools are because of, right now, the result of the pandemic, because people like Randy Weingarten and Mike Mulgrew and all these people refused to open schools, even though everyone else eventually had to go back to work, everyone had to get back to business, everyone had to get back to doing what they're supposed to do, the teachers' union put the kibosh on schools, and now, again, all the focus is on the yeshivas. No one cares that New York City public schools have failed. They fundamentally failed their students. The kids who aren't going to get hurt, by the way, are the upper middle class and wealthy, predominantly white kids, by the way, well, whose parents still got them tutors, whose parents maybe put them into a Catholic school or a different program, whose kids could still play, like my constituents, half of them still played sports in New Jersey. They're still on athletic teams.
Right.
It is poor kids in neighborhoods that can't afford this that really suffered, and that's the shame of it.
And what is the answer? What is the answer to solve the problem?
The answer is to ensure that the union is not making DOE policy. Now, I think the public has an ally in the new school chancellor. I think he's a very good chancellor. I think he's doing a good job. I think he's keeping them at bay. But these are people who just should not have been given all the power to make decisions with schools. You're basically allowing the employees to say, we want to stay home. Why? Well, we're essential. We are definitely essential workers. Okay, then come to work.
Right.
Oh, we're not that essential.
Right.
Not that.
Right. Exactly.
You can't be both. You can't be both. But, you know, a lot of people are driving to work this morning. A lot of people are facing the traffic. Let's see how bad it is for the final time today with our good friend Susie Cerrone.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Sunny skies, and it's 58 degrees in our fair city. What's going on? We have the answer. Checking traffic, another accident in Queens, BQE southbound at Queens Boulevard, a 20-minute delay getting by that. Same thing on the Belt Parkway eastbound and Cross Bay Boulevard. We still have that crash. The accident, though, on the Jackie Robinson southbound by Jamaica Avenue is gone. Still some pretty heavy delays on both the Belt Parkway westbound and the LIE westbound through Queens. Inbound, George, no relief there. 45 for the upper, 30 at the lower. The Lincoln is 40. Holland's still your best bet, 30 minutes from either approach. Problem now in Basking Ridge. It's an accident on 287 north, but at exit 30, you're backed up from exit 26. Happened again on the Hutch. Box truck stuck on the Hutch northbound at Wilmot Road. Single lane and getting through that. Thruway southbound sluggish, exit 13 to 10. Now you know how not to go. I'm Susie Cerrone on AM 970, The Answer.
You know, we just had our annual client cruise, and what a great event. And it always is, right? It's a fantastic time because we always charter the Atlantis Yacht with Captain Fred and New York Cruises. Captain Fred and the New York Cruises staff go above and beyond with every detail, and our clients love it. And if you're looking to wow your corporate guests, clients, or employees, there's no other way to go than with New York Cruises for an unforgettable event aboard the Atlantis. Picturesque New York City skyline views, gourmet food, bar menu. What's not to love? Whether it's a corporate event, wedding, engagement party, bar mitzvah, birthday, retirement party, anniversary celebration, impress your guests with a first-class experience aboard the Atlantis. You will love Captain Fred. 212-633-1231. That's 633-1231. Or visit newyorkcruises.com and see how Captain Fred and his first-class yacht crew will make your special occasion an unforgettable day. That's newyorkcruises.com.
This is Greg Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237. Join me for Reaching Out. We'll talk about the issues that matter the most to working families, union members, and everyone who cares about the future.
On the next Reaching Out, Greg speaks with Troy Walcott, president and founder of People's Choice Communications, about Local 3 members being forced into a multi-year strike against Spectrum. It's Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, Saturday afternoon at 2:30 on AM 970, The Answer.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's heroes and their families since 9/11. Christopher Slutman is one of those heroes. Christopher was a decorated 15-year FDNY member. He later became a staff sergeant in the United States Marine Corps. He was serving our country in Afghanistan when he was killed in action by an IED, leaving behind his wife and 3 children. When a first responder or military service member does not come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring the family stability. Christopher's family is able to stay in the house that he and his wife picked to raise their kids, the house that their kids feel safe in, the house where everyone showed up to support the family after Christopher's death. Help America's heroes and their families. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. T, the number 2, T.org.
It's the AM 970 Weather Answer Forecast.
Sunny skies at first, becoming partly cloudy in the afternoon as highs reach up to 67 degrees. And then we'll see a clear night tonight with a low of 52. As we go into tomorrow, we're looking for cloudy skies, a high of 65, and then the weekend gets a little bit wet with some rain showers from Tropical Rainstorm Ian. High temperature will be 62 on Saturday, 65 on Sunday, and then on Monday, still looking at a shower too, high temperature 63. I'm meteorologist Jeff Nordine on AM 970, The Answer.
Mike Gallagher is next on AM 970, The Answer.
Good morning and welcome back to the final segment of the Joe Piscopo Show on this lovely Thursday morning. Unfortunately, lovely if you're here in New York City, not so lovely if you're in Florida or in the parts of Georgia and South Carolina where Hurricane Ian is now bearing down. We wish all our good fortune and good prayers to those people here. But back here in New York, it was an absolute pleasure to fill in for Joe today. I have two more days next week that I'm just so excited about. I just looked at my calendar. It's Wednesday and Thursday of next week. Going to be a good time. I'm pumped. Tonight I have an engagement party for my friend Buck Sexton.
Very exciting.
I'm sure you guys know Buck. He used to have a show on WOR. Now he's... I forget what station he's on in New York, but he's in the radio business and a Fox News contributor, so it's going to be fun. He's marrying a woman. I don't know her, Carrie. I don't know her, but she is also a producer at Fox, so I think it's going to I think it's going to be a fun event tonight at the New York Racquet and Tennis Club.
Nice.
That's very interesting.
I have to go. So I have to go to City Hall. Mm. Then I have to drive back home. Pick up Mrs. Borelli, and then we have to drive back to Midtown, which is the only frustrating part of my day. That's
the
only.
Why doesn't your wife meet you?
Because it's not safe anymore, and she's going to be. And I'm done. I'm done pretending like it's safe. She took my kids to visit me at work the other day. She took the Staten Island Railroad and the ferry, and then I walked down to meet them at the ferry. Okay. I don't want them taking the subway.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then when they left...
It was a nice day anyway.
It was a nice day, right. And then when they left, I ended up just driving them back to the ferry, and then got to the ferry, realized the mayhem that's going on there, drove them back to Staten Island to her car, and then went to Harlem, where I was headlining this fundraiser for the hurricane victims in Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic. Sure. I don't want my kids on the subway. I took my one son, the older one, on the subway a couple of times, but that's because he's with me and I'll do what I got to do, right?
But doesn't that make you feel, you grew up and I grew up at a time when the subways weren't that safe in the 80s and 90s and
early
90s.
As a family, we never went on the subways.
Right. Mm-hmm. And now it's the same thing.
It's a shame.
It really is.
Because 5 years ago, you were in danger of falling on the tracks.
Right.
And
now you're in danger of being pushed onto the tracks.
And look, crime has always happened. But the risk tolerance has changed because the statistics have climbed. We'll have to save the rest of this chat for next week. Who's coming in tomorrow? Arthur Idowell is coming in tomorrow.
Arthur Idowell will be in tomorrow.
Oh,
and
that's
then there's
great.
An assortment of people next week, and you'll be in on Thursday.
It'll be
6th.
Fun. And if you want to stick with AM 970, you got the Mike Gallagher Show coming up next. This is Joe Borelli signing off for this Thursday morning. It's been an absolute pleasure to be your host, and we'll see you next week. But listen tomorrow anyway. Have a great day.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.